Jason Griffey is in the studio. He's the head of the library information technology here at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, but he's been making waves with his library box, a creation that's just having some success, to say the least, on Kickstarter. Jason, thanks for coming to WUTC.
Thanks for inviting me.
Library box is described as a device which can share files with anyone, anywhere, if they're off the grid, if they don't have the internet, they can receive and share these files. So exactly how does this device work?
Sure. So Library Box is it's a small Wi-Fi-based router, effectively. Creates its own Wi-Fi signal, and it shares files that live on a thumb drive that attach to it. So the router itself is very low power, so you can plug it into anything from a battery to the wall to a solar panel and run it. Anything that connects to the Wi-Fi signal and launches a browser can then browse and download the files that are on it. It was originally designed to give libraries a way to do outreach in communities. So where there may not be internet access for people to get to ebooks or movies or music digitally, they could take this very kind of small and expensive device out with them into the world and be kind of a roaming digital library.
And what kind of files can fit on this library box?
Anything that you can put on a thumb drive. So the most common are ebooks and movies, music, that sort of stuff. But there have been uses where it was used to share large sets of data for science experiments, things like that.
It's called Library Box. Mm-hmm. You're a librarian. Mm-hmm. Coming up with that idea of the Library Box, was that really connected to being a librarian?
Yeah, it was actually the development of the product was related to another project. There was a project from maybe 3 years ago that was called Pirate Box, and it was originally developed by an art professor at New York University named Dr. David Darts. And he produced what he called a pirate box as a way, as an art project, kind of as a way to instigate some discussion about copyright and digital file sharing and things in the country. And I had seen his project and then kind of rolled around in my head for a while. And I thought, you know, with a little bit of changes, with just a few things, this could be really useful for libraries, for educators, for museums, for kind of off the grid file sharing. So, his project was open source. It was freely available for anyone to download and modify and everything. So I did. And so in early 2012, I had a prototype, and then finally reached a point where what I wanted it to do didn't quite, it was beyond my skills. I have a small amount of programming skills, but I needed someone with considerable amount more. And in order to do that, I needed money to trade for their talent. And that's where Kickstarter came in.
For someone that hasn't seen this library box, you can plug it into, say, a socket, and your tablet can connect to the
Wi-Fi signal.
Exactly. Yep. Of the library box and download these files from the library box, which is connected. What kind of limbo do you get in when we're talking about privacy and piracy and copyright?
Sure.
How does that work?
Sure.
Or what are you thinking about in the future? Because obviously that's going to be a point.
It is in many ways no different than a thumb drive, except that it can be shared publicly to people over Wi-Fi. So there's no, what someone puts on a thumb drive is up to them. What someone puts on a library box is up to them. The ones that I have built and used, I've concentrated on providing access to public domain or to Creative Commons licensed works that are freely shareable, that are licensed in such a way that they allow me to legally share them. And the libraries that I'm aware of are doing the same thing. It's a hyper-local method of sharing. In some ways, it's no different than handing someone a thumb drive, except that it works over Wi-Fi for multiple people all at the same time.
Another interesting, facet of this library box is that you are having open source, that so a developer can create new code for it, that there's this anonymous aspect about this library box. Why decide to go those avenues?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so the kind of the two, I'll take those separately. The anonymity of it, that is that when you connect, no records are kept, or there's not a log of who's connecting and downloading things, that sort of thing. That is tied very, very closely to libraries and librarianship. It is actually a primary facet of libraries and librarianship that reading records are private. That's been a tenet of libraries for many, many, many years. So in that vein, it's private. What you access off of the device, I don't have a record. No one has a record of what you're downloading. As far as the open sourceness of it, I just believe that things are more powerful when they're shared, and that all of us is smarter than one of us. So by making my work public and by allowing others to see it, I get better ideas. I get people looking at it and critiquing it in ways that I can then use to make it better. And people can use it for their own projects. So, it is a product. I'm trying to increase the ease of building through the Kickstarter campaign, and anybody that wants to can build one on their own. They don't need me to build one for them. So
some people would say the beauty of having something that's open source is that the original creator can't see exactly what can be used in the future for something like this. Have you thought about that? What could be used and how the library box can be used in different ways?
I've been really interested in a lot of the ways that both it is being used and then how it's been proposed to be used. Some of the ways it is being used even now are things that I didn't necessarily predict. My favorite kind of library box use, I've told this story a couple of times at library conferences, but my very favorite use is I was contacted about 8 months ago by an educator in China who is an English teacher, and he told me that he was having an issue that he had found Library Box as a solution because he was having an issue where when he was teaching English, the students that he had that were of a higher socioeconomic status could get access to loads of English language material because they had the ability to bypass the great firewall in China. So they could use their laptops to get on the internet and get through the firewall and get the learning materials they needed. The lower income students didn't have that ability. They couldn't bypass the great firewall and thus were being blocked from a lot of the reading that they could otherwise be doing and or that he would like them to do. And so he had built a library box and was using it locally in his class to distributing English language learning materials to these students that couldn't otherwise get it. And that really hit me as a primary use case, and especially with a lot of the kind of freedom of information things that are happening now, the ability to have this kind of hyper-local sharing that bypasses internet filters or any kind of censorship is, I think, a powerful thing.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Jason Griffey, a librarian at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and also the creator of Library Box, a device that can share files with anyone off the internet or even off the grid. Library Box recently ended a Kickstarter campaign. With a goal of $3,000, Library Box raised over $30,000, 10 times more than its original goal. Library Box is currently the most successful Kickstarter campaign to come from Chattanooga. Obviously, the library box is in its early developmental stages, but who would you say is the target audience for this?
Well, I mean, I certainly think libraries and educators were the primary kind of when I came up with the idea and when I built the original prototypes and things, that's really who I was thinking about. But I do think after working with it now for a little over a year, that there's probably use cases that range from just the personal, like I built one for me to just take to like academic conferences and share papers so that people could download, for instance, something I wrote directly off the box. I think that there are use cases for emergency responders, for people who respond in areas where there may be, a disruption of internet access or electricity in areas where there are large natural disasters, and you still need to distribute digital files to healthcare workers or to police, fire, those sorts of uses. It's cheap enough, the hardware is cheap enough that you can afford to build a bunch of them very inexpensively and scatter them around and still distribute things even when there's no power and no internet. And that's, I think, could be interesting.
Now you started a Kickstarter campaign, mm-hmm. which you originally wanted to raise just $3,000, mm-hmm. and you've bypassed that goal.
Yes.
You just today, mm-hmm. as we're talking, it's $30,000 you've raised. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, what are you thinking when you have a Kickstarter that's that successful?
Yeah, it's been quite a 30-day period here. It's been quite a month. I launched it purposefully earlier late in June because of the American Library Association annual conference. There's a large conference that happens every year, and I thought if I'm going to launch a Kickstarter, I should do it when I can reach the highest number of librarians. That's where I was focusing, and that went well. I launched on a Friday, and it was about it was just shy of 4 hours that I hit the goal of $3,000, and it was at that point I realized I might be in some trouble. And
good trouble,
the best possible sort of trouble, I guess. And then a little later on, I had the opportunity to run into and to talk with a pretty well-known science fiction author named Cory Doctorow, who is also happens to be one of the creators and writers and editors of the most popular blog in the world, Boing Boing. So I talked with him about it and actually gave him a box with his own work on it. And that was that turned out to be a pretty good idea because he tweeted about it and blogged it on Boing Boing, and by the end of the conference, I was somewhere in the $12,000 to $14,000 range. It was like 4 days. It was like $4,000 a day. It was an insane rate of growth. It was really pretty crazy. I've done a lot of reading about Kickstarter campaigns, and the biggest problem seems to be that these sorts of hyper successful campaigns run into scaling problems, right?
What do you mean by scaling problems?
Yeah, I had originally assumed that I was going to raise about $3,000 to $5,000 maybe, and that I would be building 30 to 40 library boxes and delivering them and everything. And now I'm delivering like 180 or something. I'm trying very hard to plan everything so that I don't fall victim to some of the sort of failures that some of the hyper-successful Kickstarter campaigns have had, which is that they deliver very late because they hadn't ramped up production in time.
So you originally started out with this $3,000 goal. Talk to us about what the initial plans were mm-hmm. to do with those $3,000, and now that you've got $30,000,
yeah.
What are you going to plan on doing?
Sure, sure. So I've had a lot of requests for varying features of the hardware, the primary being solar power, because a lot of people are interested in kind of building one of these and putting them out in the world and just letting it run so they don't have to plug it in or charge it or anything like that. We can be a lot more precise in the way the code is written. We can make sure that everything works much more elegantly. We can test things much better. It's going to lead to a much better product. I can afford to be a little more robust in my testing. We can open up the code to multiple types of hardware. We can test different kinds of solar panels. We can test different kinds of, well, lots of things. But mostly it's allowed me to make sure that the product's going to be a lot, lot better. So it's going to be challenging, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, Jason Griffey, thank you so much for talking to WUTC, and best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
For more information on Library Box, you can visit librarybox.us. For WUTC, I'm Garrett Crowe.